Before Debbie comes to preach, I'm going to read the passage, which is Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, and it's the first 19 verses. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 19. And Jesus entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, in order that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Rise and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And after looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out immediately, began taking counsel with the Herodians against him, as to how they might destroy him. And Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples, and a great multitude from Galilee followed, and also from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude heard of all that he was doing, and came to him. And he told his disciples that a boat should stand ready for him because of the multitude, in order that they might not crowd him. For he had healed many, with the result that all those who had afflictions pressed about him in order to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits beheld him, they would fall down before him and cry out, saying, "You are the Son of God." And he earnestly warned them not to make him known. And he went up to the mountain and summoned those who he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have authority to cast out the demons. And he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. If you'd like to come up, Debbie, and I'll pray for you. Father, I thank you for the privilege of having Debbie with us. Thank you for all that she's thought and prayed and listened to you. And we ask, Lord, that our ears, our spiritual ears, may be very open to receive the word that you will speak to each of us through Debbie. Pray for Debbie, and I pray for us in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So we're getting stuck back into our Mark passages after a bit of a break over the summer, a bit of break over August, and we got up to the end of chapter 2, and so here we are at the beginning of chapter 3, and we're following our journey through this gospel and following Jesus and his wonderful ministry. And I don't know if it struck you as we were reading those verses and thinking about those verses, how everywhere Jesus goes, as we read about him in the Gospels, everywhere he goes, he is causing breakthrough and blessing and impact in people's lives. It doesn't go unnoticed when Jesus moves through a crowd, or he moves through a synagogue, enters into the synagogue, comes into the center of a gathering of people, walks down the street. It's not unnoticed. Even the demons are noticing and sitting up and recognizing, wow, there's something going on here. And they start shouting out, "You're the Son of God," and getting shaken in their roots and in their confidences. Because when Jesus moves around, when he moves through, things happen. Things start to impact our lives. There's a shaking, there's a changing. And this morning, I want us to think a little bit as we approach this passage about what it means to be, or what are the keys to being receivers of breakthrough and blessing. Receivers of breakthrough and blessing, and also releasers of breakthrough and blessing, because you get both in this passage. You've got people receiving wonderful things from Jesus, receiving healing, receiving deliverance, receiving hope and encouragement, wanting to hear his teaching. So they're obviously receiving instruction and revelation and enlightenment. There's people receiving all sorts of blessings from him. And then by the time we get to the end of those verses that David just read, we see them being sent out to then be releasers of that same breakthrough and blessing. And I want us to think for a few minutes this morning about the keys, some pointers that we find in this passage. How can we be receivers and releasers of breakthrough and blessing? Because probably lots of us in this room would stand up and say, yeah, I want to be used by God. Who wants to be used by God? Yeah, loads of us do. We want to be used by the Lord. We want our lives to be useful in his hands, and we want to see his work being accomplished through us and through our prayers and through our activities and through the way that we engage with our lives, in our workplaces, in our families, with our friendships, our neighbors, in our communities. We want to see the Lord working through us. We want to be useful to him. But you know, I was thinking as I read this passage, it's those who've really understood how to receive themselves breakthrough and blessing from the Lord who are then really able to be givers and releasers of it. It almost has to come first. And you know that's true in experience, don't you? We know that when we've got a testimony, like Joe's been encouraging us to share with one another, when we've got a testimony of how the Lord has met us and met a need, met an answer to prayer, met a complicated situation, when he has entered in, when he has transformed it in his beautiful and inimitable way, when we have had that experience in our lives, we suddenly become much better vessels, don't we, of his goodness and his blessing and his glory and his power to others. Because, well, we can start there. We can start just by telling our story. We can start by saying, do you know what Jesus did for me? And you know, sometimes we're desperate to be used by God, and we're so focused, you know, on all the amazing, miraculous things that he wants us to do out there that we forget that he wants to meet us in our lives first. And that's not a selfish or an insular or an inward-looking position. No, actually, it's the beginning. It's like the planting of the seed that is then going to start to flower out and grow out from our lives and bear fruit that other people can come up and take hold of and taste and be blessed and satisfied by. And we've got to let our God work in our lives first before we can really start to see all the brilliant and beautiful things he wants to do through us and with us. And we kind of see that progression in this passage as people are receiving from Jesus, and then he gathers the 12 and he sends them out to go and be carriers of that blessing that they have received. It's a beautiful thing. There's a quote by a famous evangelist whose name is escaping me right now. I think it might have been Whitfield, actually, who said, if you're not moved by the gospel, if the gospel hasn't moved you, you won't be able to move anybody else with it, basically. If the gospel hasn't moved you, hasn't shifted something in your life first, then you won't be able to make that impact in somebody else's life. You won't be able to see it encountering and moving others. And there is truth in those thoughts and in those words. And I know there'll be many of us in this room this morning as we read this passage who are looking for breakthrough and blessing personally, and looking for breakthrough and blessing for those around us, lives around us, people close to us. We're looking for healing perhaps in our bodies, healing in our hearts, in our minds, in our emotions. We're looking for jobs. Very practically, we're looking for family needs to be met. We're looking at complicated situations in our lives and asking for wisdom about what to do with them. We're looking for relationships to go well and to be fruitful and positive instead of a drain and something that robs from us instead of something that gives and enriches to us. We're looking to see places where the enemy has got entrenched, getting shaken, his grip getting shaken off and getting freed up and liberated in those places. Many of us this morning, probably all of us this morning, have got breakthroughs and blessings that we're looking for. And the Lord wants to show us and challenge us about some keys that will help us be people who receive that blessing that he absolutely wants to give. Because like I said, Jesus can't move through a crowd of people without impacting their lives. And he wants to move through us this morning. You know what gets in the way? In the first few verses here, hard hearts get in the way of when Jesus wants to impact us. Hard hearts. Yeah, that stops him sometimes doing all that he wants to do. It's powerful words, isn't it, in verse 5. Powerful description about Jesus' reaction there when it says he looks around with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And actually, I don't know which version it is, but Anne was reading to us on Friday in our little Bible study group this story, and she said she'd read a version where it described Jesus looked around, he was furious, you know, that energy there. But there was anger, there was grief in Jesus' own heart as he looked around and saw hard hearts in the synagogue. Why? Well, because those hard hearts, they are resistors to the blessing and the breakthrough that Jesus wants to bring for you and for me, and then that he wants to bring through us to others. They get in the way. And we want to have soft hearts this morning. We want to have hearts that get a bit kneaded, you know, with a K, a bit massaged, a bit worked on by the Holy Spirit, where we allow the Lord to soften it up and make us malleable in his hands again. That we don't kind of get to a place where we think we've known and seen and experienced everything that there is to know and see and experience with Jesus in our lives. We haven't. He wants to keep our hearts soft and also hot, burning for him. Let's not miss the beauty of who Jesus is in this story, because that's one of the keys that we're going to come to. So I want to just pick out really a few things. I'm going to point out six things kind of briefly this morning. I want to point out six things that I think are keys to our own breakthrough and blessing in the things that we're carrying. And maybe as I'm talking, you can have in your minds and have in your hearts and prayers the things that you want to see breakthrough and blessing enter into in your own lives. First of all, I think there's something in verse 1. Jesus, it says, entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. He entered into the synagogue. And I was really struck as I was reading this passage, I think for the first time quite so strongly, about how in Mark's gospel, but in the other gospels too, the synagogues are such an important place. They're kind of a base from which Jesus wants to do his ministry. Now, of course, we see that he does all sorts of ministry in the open air as well, and he stands by the lake and he gathers people, and he goes up the mountain and he gathers people, all sorts of ways that the crowds come to him. But there's also a deliberate entering in to the synagogue. And the synagogue was, that word synagogue, it literally just means the place where people gather, or the gathering, the coming together, the gathering place, or even not just the place, but the people, the gathered people. And that idea of the synagogue in the Jewish culture and in the Jewish traditions, it was a place, it wasn't like the temple, which wasn't functioning anyway in the way that the Old Testament laws had sort of set out that it should be in the days of Jesus, but it wasn't like that. It was an additional place for the Jewish people who were hungry for God, where they could come and meet with each other and read the scriptures and then hear somebody else talk about those scriptures and expound them, hear the rabbis bringing their wisdom on those verses where they could pray together. They're known as houses of prayer, and modern day synagogues are still understood like that. They're a place of prayer to come together to seek the Lord, to worship him, to know him better. And what's lovely about them is they were very open and all-inclusive. Men could come there, women could come there to learn, to engage, to pray, to be God's people together. They were a kind of informal gathering point for God's people to come together, for hungry people, people with soft hearts, if you like, we hope, to gather together and find God. And Jesus, therefore, is committed to going to those gatherings, even though some of those gatherings must have been very, very disappointing for him to go to, just like that one was. You know, I've just mentioned all the good reasons why those synagogues existed, and all the good and the idealistic reasons why people might have gone there, to because they were hungry for the Lord, they're seeking after him, they want to pray, they want to get together with other people who are like-minded and have the same heart. That's all the good reasons. But here we see in this particular synagogue, on this particular day, we've got all sorts of people with hard hearts. We've got the Pharisees who are there specifically because they want to see Jesus do something that they can then use to accuse him with and actually get rid of him and push him out of the picture altogether. And we see in those verses that they end up conspiring as to how they're going to destroy Jesus because of their gathering at the synagogue. But nevertheless, Jesus is committed to coming to the place where people gather to find God. I think we should be really encouraged about that this morning, because as I'm describing that sort of the concept of the synagogue, I hope that you're recognizing that it's a pretty similar concept we have of the church today, isn't it? Church, that word itself just means the gathered people. It's the same idea. It's when God's people get together, he is committed to being there. And this principle, unless we start to get hold of it and understand it in our hearts, that God, even when it's a nightmare, even when it's not fulfilling all the things that it's supposed to be, even when you're sat in the church on a Sunday morning and you're thinking to yourself, this pew is very uncomfortable, I wish that I didn't have to sit here, or this song that we're singing doesn't sound very good, I'm not enjoying it at all, or whatever it might be. I'm sure that wasn't the case, worship team, today. But, you know, whatever it is that is kind of putting you off or making you think that this church thing is a difficult thing to get hold of and a difficult thing to do, whatever it is, did you know that Jesus is committed to being here and meeting with us? He wants to gather when his people gather. He wants to be at the heart of it, right in the center of it. And why does this matter? Because whether we like it or not, whether we're great sociable community people or not, whether we're people, whether we love being in the company of others and we're great extroverts and it gives us energy to get out there and be with other people and we can't wait to rush here on a Sunday morning and share all our news with other people, or whether we're not, whether we find that stuff hard, actually, whether we're not very community-minded, whether we actually find people quite difficult or distressing, whether we sometimes feel a sense of anxiety about coming together and meeting with others and gathering. Even if that's the case, still the truth remains that Jesus is committed to being here when we come together. And so if we have a breakthrough that we need to see happen, if we have a blessing that we want to receive from God, this is a place to come and get it, to come and find it, because you can guarantee that Jesus will be here when people meet in his name. You can guarantee it. Now, I'm not saying that it may not be that there are gatherings that happen that say they're in the name of Jesus and say they're all about him, but actually are full of hard-heartedness, a bit like this one here, that eventually the Lord might say, you know what, I'm not sure that gathering's really anything to do with me anymore, so perhaps I won't turn up today. I'm not saying that that's not a possibility. But wherever God's people gather in his name, wherever they're looking to seek God, wherever they were hungry to know him a bit more, they wanted to get into the scripture together, they wanted to get into his word, they wanted to hear some teaching, even if they were going to disagree with it, but they were hungry and ready to be there to listen because they want to go deeper in their relationship with the Lord. Wherever that is happening, Jesus turns up. He's here. He's in the midst, he's committed, he's made the appointment. And if we're looking for breakthrough and blessing, we need to come into that place like this guy with the withered hand. He was there. We don't know if that guy with the withered hand, if he came to the synagogue to get healed that day because he knew Jesus might be there. We don't know. Or whether he just came because his heart was open and he was hungry to know God a little bit better. But whichever way, Jesus met him powerfully in that gathered place, didn't he? And sometimes we let the barriers that exist between us and the insecurities that we sometimes feel and the difficulties that we can have with one another and the relationships that go a bit wrong or go a bit strained or don't make sense to us quite, we can let that stuff drive us out of the gathered place. And I believe the Lord's calling some of us this morning and saying, have faith in the community of God's people, in the gathered place of God's people. Have faith in Jesus' words when he says, two or three gathered in my name, I will be there. I am there. I'm right there in the midst. I'm going to meet you. I'm going to enter into that place that needs breakthrough. You know, perhaps where we struggle not to be distracted by all the difficult things. You know, I was thinking about all the things that make it difficult to gather. I mean, there's the external things, aren't there? The kind of having to get up in the morning, I don't know, for some people, or it's, you know, all the things you've got to do and all the other responsibilities that you have, or the need for rest or the need for headspace or whatever it might be. There's all sorts of things, aren't there, externally. And then there are the things that we kind of find when we do come together that are still distracting and off-putting and make us question, am I really going to get anything out of this gathering? Am I really meant to be here? Should I really engage with this? Should I make the effort? A tip for anyone who's ever felt like that, but I was thinking, you know, what we've got to do is look for Jesus when we come to the gathered place. Look for Jesus, because he is here and he is doing things. There might be all sorts of other stuff going on too, but he's here and he's at work. And when we see where he is and what he is doing, it will always be something wonderful. And then our focus on him rather than on everything else helps us to have a soft heart. Because Jesus melts hearts, doesn't he, when we fix our eyes on him. And then he'll do the rest. He makes it worth our while gathering in him. And he gives us a heart to love those who gather with us. Look for Jesus when you come to the gathered place. I was remembering a story about a lady who used to come to New Life, the church in Greenwich, the Ichthus congregation in Greenwich. And I remember she shared her story. She hadn't been going to church for many years, but she had a very strong Christian mother who'd been praying for her and I think also nagging her that she ought to be going to church, and she wasn't anymore in her adult life going along because she didn't think she was getting anything out of it. And that's what she used to say. Look, Mum, you know, it's great for you. You obviously like church. You obviously like the people who go there. And you've obviously got friends there. I don't, and I don't have any friends there. So what's the point in me going? I don't think it's worth going to. And she wasn't coming to our church, the mother, at that time. She was going to a different one. But she was praying like mad that her daughter would find a church of God's people to go and gather to. And one day she describes how her mum had just been nagging her so much and so much and so much all that week that she thought, look, just to get her off my back for a few weeks, I'll go one Sunday to a church. And then I can say, I've been, you know, and then maybe she won't ask me about it for a while. So that Sunday she turned up at the congregation in Greenwich at New Life Church. And she didn't really want to be there, but she thought it might help. And so she sat at the back of the meeting. It wasn't a large meeting, it was a very small room, group of people in there worshipping Jesus. And as she was standing at the back and she stood to sing one of the songs and she was looking at the words, singing the song, kind of engaging, but not particularly expectant that the Lord was going to meet her there, she said all of a sudden she'd had this all week, she'd had this terrible pain I think it was caused by a tooth problem, but it was sort of going all the way down her neck, and it was a strained muscle and kind of in her jaw. And it had been really bad, so she could barely sort of turn her head all week. It had been very, very painful. And she was standing in the service, and she suddenly decided to say, okay, look, God, you know, all these people are singing to you and they believe that you're around and you're doing stuff. So if I'm really meant to be here, meant to be coming to church, you know, you better do something about this pain in my neck. And as she continued singing, the pain just suddenly lifted from her and was totally healed. And she didn't have any pain from it for the whole rest of the week or ever again. And she suddenly knew in that moment, as the pain was lifted from her, she knew she'd met with Jesus. And that that was what the gathering was all about. Jesus was there and active and doing something. And she went back and said to her mum, actually, I've realised that this church thing's not a bad idea after all. Good things happen when we get together in God's presence. She was totally healed. We need some of us to raise our expectations again about the fact that Jesus is here when we gather together. So let's come. Let's not miss it. Let's gather. Let's tell everyone else who missed it to come next time and gather. Not to encourage me or the leaders, because there's lots of full seats, although that's always nice, isn't it? But it's not about that. It's about the fact there's a blessing here and there's a breakthrough here. And if you're hungry and you've got a soft heart, you should want to be here to come and get it, to come and receive from it. The second thing I want to say kind of flows from that, because in verse 3, Jesus says to this man sitting in the gathered place of God's people, he says to him, get up and come forward. And in the margin of your Bible, it might say that a sort of very literal translation of that is literally arise into the midst. I like that. It sounds like very old-fashioned Bible language, doesn't it? Arise into the midst. But it kind of gives you a visual picture of what was going on. So we had a he was in a company a bit like this, although maybe they were sitting in a bit more of a circular formation. And there Jesus is there in the middle, and he says, arise into the midst. In other words, stand up and come right into the center of this gathering. Come right into the middle of it. You come out and stand here. So you can't sit at the back and sort of hide away somewhere right in the corner. He's calling out and he said, come out into the middle. And this man was visible. And you know, I think there's something about that calling out that Jesus did for that man that was significant for his breakthrough and his healing, because he obeyed, didn't he? When Jesus said, arise and come into the middle here, he did it. He didn't say to him, well, look, Jesus, you know what? I'm a really shy kind of person, and I don't like it when everybody's looking at me. And I'd really rather that you just came to the back corner and healed me there, please. He didn't say that. Now, of course, the Lord does that. He does come to the back and the corners and the edges and meet with us. But, you know, there are times, and I think they're significant moments, and probably they will happen for all of us at some point in our walk with Jesus, where he calls us and he says, arise and come forward. Come into the middle. Come into the center, into the heart, to be visible. Now, don't forget, I'm not talking about arise and come up to the front necessarily, you know, and preach an amazing sermon or lead an amazing song of worship. That's a slightly different picture. What Jesus did here, he said, arise into the midst, into the heart. Come into the heart. Get closer to the heartbeat of this gathering of God's people. Don't stay on the edge of the vision and the energy and the prayer life and the focus and the mission that God has given us to do. Don't stay on the edges of that and let others carry it. You come into the heart. Arise and get stuck in, he might have said. And you know, I think that the Lord is calling some people here this morning and saying, arise and come into the heart more. You know, and there's loads of ways of doing that, aren't there? Joining house groups is a really good way as we come into deeper relationship with one another as we start to build and share life together with God's people, the gathering of God's people. House groups is a way of doing that. Serving in the church in some way, getting involved in the mission of the church, coming out on the streets, sharing God's love with people, getting involved in using our gifts and spending ourselves in the work of God that's happening here. The Lord is calling us and he's saying there's breakthrough you're looking for, and you know what? It'll come if you kind of get yourself up and move into the heart. And it's a deliberate decision. That's why there's a get up bit first. You have to decide to stand on your feet and put yourself in the center. And sometimes we're always waiting for an invitation from somebody else. And actually, probably we get issued lots of invitations from leaders. You know, would you like to do this? Would you like to be part of that? Or how would you like to join in with this? But you know, you don't even need to wait for that. You know, if the Lord is tugging at your heart this morning and saying, arise and come into the heart, then do it. Do it in whatever way you know how. Get closer to the heartbeat of this gathering that's going on this morning. It might be as simple as come to church half an hour early, come to that prayer time that we have in that little space over there before a Sunday meeting where we're calling on the Lord saying, Lord, we need you here in this gathering, because if you're not here, it's pointless. So let's not do it if you're not here. That's what we're doing half an hour before you arrive on a Sunday morning. You can come. You can wake up a little bit earlier and you can come and get part of that. That's arising into the midst. You can come and serve in all sorts of ways, but you can come and share the heart, get closer to the heartbeat. And Jesus is calling some of us to do that because it's a place of breakthrough. It's a place of blessing when we recognize that and we move closer in. This guy found an amazing breakthrough, an amazing healing. And Jesus has got things like that he wants to do for us. A couple more things before we close. So we get to the gathering. We move into the heart, and then Jesus says to him, stretch out your hand. And I think that's a kind of, it's a flow on really from what I've just said, arising and moving in. You know, I was going to mention actually, there may be some of you, it's a thought that has occurred to me again, so I'm going to say it. There may be some of you, the Lord is literally saying to you, change where you sit on a Sunday morning. And I don't say that with any agenda. I'm actually saying it because it came to my head again. I'd forgotten it. I'd written it down before, and then I felt the Lord brought it back. But maybe there are, because it's a sort of practical way that you're saying, you know, I'm going to rise up and move into the heart. And maybe you always sit in the same place on your Sunday mornings or whatever. And he's saying, no, arise, come into the heart, sit in the aisle, whatever it might be. Move your physical position, because it's a sign that you're saying to the Lord, yep, I'm ready. And then he says, stretch out your hand. And I think the picture of the stretched out hand, of course, for this man, he had a withered hand. It was not being used. It did not have strength in it, didn't have muscle availability in it. But as he stretched it out, it was restored. And I think the picture of the stretched out hand for us today is a picture of blessing. We reach out our hands to bless one another, don't we? We reach out our hands to serve one another, to offer one another things. We reach out our hands sometimes to receive from one another. And there's an idea of service in the outstretched hand. We reach out our hands to pray. We reach them perhaps up that way. But this is how we start to serve. And I felt that the Lord was saying, there are some people, and a part of your breakthrough is going to come when you stretch out your hand. And it might be the withered hand that you have to stretch out, because it might be the very thing that the enemy is opposing you in currently, that the Lord is saying, but exercise faith in that very same area and you're going to find a breakthrough starts to come. You know, if we're calling on the Lord saying, Lord, I want to be more useful in your hands, but look at my marriage. It's going wrong. There are things that are problematic. There are problems that are going on. The Lord's saying, stretch out your hand in that area. In other words, start to exercise some faith in it. Pray. Pray for your own marriage. Pray for other people's marriages. Seek to bless marriage. Talk well of it all the time. Start to do the things that the enemy is opposing you in. Start to do those very things. You know, the guy with that hand that was unusable, the enemy was hindering him, wasn't he, in that work? And all of a sudden, it was when he listened to Jesus and said, I'm not going to allow the enemy to rob me of what God wants to do through my life anymore. And he stretched it out. That's where the breakthrough came. And maybe there are some of us here that the Lord is tugging at you and saying, there's an area the enemy is opposing in your life, and it's in that very same area I want you to start to exercise some faith. Now, that might look different for every single circumstance. You need to hear what the Lord is saying to you. But there are ways that we can say, I have been opposed by the enemy, and he wants to stop me doing X, Y, and Z. Therefore, I am going to do it anyway. I am going to push out, take a step in that direction anyway, you know? Our tendency so much is to think, well, I'll kind of leave that bit to one side until I feel stronger in every other area, and then maybe the Lord will help me to deal with that. But I felt the Lord was saying to some of us this morning, there are things the enemy is deliberately hindering that God wants to do through you. Stretch out your hand, exercise some faith, even in that place. It might be very painful. You know, that guy with the withered hand may have been very painful for him to unstretch it out like that, to unfold it like that. I remember Stephen in New Life in the church in Greenwich once praying for a guy, and we saw him. This guy used to he had an arm that was kind of completely contorted, and he couldn't move it. The muscles had all contracted in a funny way, and it was like this. And as he prayed for him for healing, it was this man we met on the street. He kind of gave this great scream, and you could hear this kind of cracking as it stretched out. I think it was painful, but then it was healed. And this guy was absolutely rejoicing because this hand that had been so caught up with the enemy's work had pushed out and found his healing and his breakthrough. It might be a bit painful, but the Lord, if he's calling you in that area, if he's showing you an area and saying, you are opposed here, but stretch out nevertheless. Let's find the grace, the ways that he wants to call you forward. Just a couple more things before we pray together. You know, Jesus knew in receiving breakthrough, he knew when to take spiritual cover. Even Jesus, you know. I noticed how in verses 7 and 9 and 12, if you look at the middle of that passage that was read to us, it says, Jesus withdrew to the sea. And then it says, he told his disciples to have a boat stand ready for him so that if he needed to escape into it because of the crowd and get a swift exit, he could do that. He could have an access. And an escape route is perhaps the wrong word, but a place of covering, a place of stepping back, a hiddenness. And it is right and it is wise to know with the Lord when to withdraw. There's a place of hiding in spiritual breakthrough. And I think the danger can come when we start to see amazing breakthroughs in our lives, when God starts to move, and I think the Lord has been starting to move in many of our lives and situations, when answers start to come, that we start to get really confident and really happy, and that's brilliant, and it's the right thing. But then we start to run off and run ahead into every battle that might confront us, because we're suddenly feeling so indomitable, you know? It's like, yeah, I'm invincible, nothing can get me, look at this amazing healing the Lord did last week. And so many of us know, who've been walking with the Lord a while, that it's so often at that moment and in that place that you get a good knock from the enemy because you're not really listening to the leading of the Spirit. And I want to say this morning that when the breakthroughs happen, when the answers to prayer come, let's keep listening to the Lord, because there are times when he says, okay, now take a step back from that. You've won a brilliant victory with that relationship, you know, you got reconciled with that person you never thought you'd be reconciled with. Okay, now don't push too hard. Take a step, give it some breathing space. Just have time with the Lord. Withdraw, if you like, come under a covering, get other people praying for you and that area of victory that you've won. Because even the Lord himself understood that principle in breakthrough. There were many more breakthroughs to come in Jesus' ministry, weren't there? Bigger and better ones than just in this chapter that the Lord was going to do. And yet he still said, okay, disciples, there might be a need for me just to take off in the boat for a bit and not to be here healing the crowds and seeing the demons flee and whatever else it is right now. So let's just listen to the Lord, because maybe for some of us we've had some breakthroughs and actually the Lord's saying, now you need some cover over that area. You need to withdraw, not physically, because we still come to the gathering, but spiritually, need some covering, need some prayer, need to take a step with him and listen again for the next step he wants to give you. And then finally, what I want to say in this last section, as Jesus commissions his disciples, calls them and commissions them. Verse 14, he says, Jesus appointed 12. And why did he appoint them? So that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out the demons. And I guess I want to come full circle with how I began. You know, there are lots of us that want to be used by the Lord mightily and powerfully, and that's a good thing. But there's a progression in these words of Jesus, aren't there? In these words about Jesus, it says he appointed those 12. It doesn't say he appointed them so that they could go out and preach and have authority over the demons. It says so that they would be with him and then he could send them out to preach and have authority to cast out the demons. And there's this place of communion and intimacy with Jesus that is at the heart of any person who wants to be truly used by him to bring breakthrough or blessing to others. We've got to see that Jesus called those disciples first and foremost to be with him. You know, when I was a teenager, there was a group of us young people in Ichthus who were wanting to be used by the Lord, and we were going out doing mission trips, sometimes overseas, sometimes into London, doing some evangelism, talking to people on the streets. And whenever we did a little trip or an outreach like that, we kind of gave our little teams a name, and we called our teams Lord, Lord teams, because there's that verse that Jesus says in Matthew 7, when he says, many will say to me in the last day, Lord, Lord, didn't we preach the gospel to thousands and thousands of people? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we perform all kinds of amazing miracles? Didn't we do all sorts of fabulous stuff for you? And do you remember what Jesus' reply is to them? He says, yeah, but I never knew you. And it's such a sobering word that Jesus brings. And, you know, even back then, in those early formative years for me and my faith in Jesus, I think the Lord was helping us with that kind of decision. We called those teams Lord, Lord teams because we wanted to remind ourselves that whatever amazing miracles and adventures we went on with Jesus, that at the heart of it always was Jesus yearning to know us and to be with us, that we could know him and be with him. And we've come full circle in what I wanted to say this morning, because you see, the Lord comes in the gathering of God's people, and he's looking for soft hearts, not hard ones. And part of the soft heart in us as we come here, Sunday by Sunday, week by week, Wednesday by Wednesday, whatever other gatherings we engage with, part of the softness is that we're saying, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to be with you, and I want to know you, and I want to understand you better. And if this crazy lot around me can help me do that in any way, I'm willing for that. I'm humble. I'm humble enough to come into this gathering and to listen to what you might want to say to me here, because I want to know, Jesus, why you're so committed to this bunch of people. I want to know, Jesus, why you think that even with all of our failings and inadequacies and hindrances and limitations, that something beautiful for you can still happen from this bunch of people. I want to understand it, Jesus. I want to understand when we pray and pray and pray about something and it doesn't seem to come about. I want to know, Jesus, what do you think about it? What are you saying about it? And we come that full circle and we come back together with him. And Jesus' heart beats for us and ours beats for him. And it's out of that place, he says, that flows this incredible authority that sees the gospel changing lives, that sees the sick healed, that sees withered hands straightening up, that sees demonic intrusions into people's lives being set free and delivered and released. It's in that place because we're with him, and he's the one who does that kind of stuff, whether it's in us or whether it's going to be through us and out into the world. So I want us just to pray for a few minutes before we disperse this morning. I want us to pray, and I want to invite us really just to respond to some of those keys to breakthrough. And quite simply, perhaps just as we're quiet together for a moment now, if you've had something in your heart and mind, something you know you've been bringing before the Lord for breakthrough, I want to invite you to, we're going to sort of symbolically come into the center and come into the heart, just like that guy with the hand did. He moved into the center. And so if you know you've had something you've been bringing before the Lord and you just want prayer, we're not going to hear everybody's stories, we're not going to talk about it for a long time, but if you have something that you're looking for breakthrough in, I want to invite you to symbolically just stand and come into the center, like right here in this aisle. We're going to stand here in the middle of the body, and then I'm going to invite everyone else just to turn so that we create a center, and we're going to pray over those who are right in the heart. Is that okay? So if there's a breakthrough that you know the Lord is wanting to do in your life, come into the middle. It might be everyone, and that's okay. Let's just get into this middle aisle, right in the heart. And can we gather around one another, okay? Because there are some big issues in here, aren't there? So let's put a hand on somebody else's shoulder. That's it. Let's bless each other. That's brilliant. Let's just gather in and let's create that circular gathering. And, you know, Jesus is in the midst of us. He promises to be here. And if you are looking for breakthrough, probably all of us are, but if you particularly are, you know, you've got something specific, why don't you just reach out that hand to heaven, one hand to heaven. Make sure somebody else has got a hand on you that's blessing you. And I just want to pray for us this morning. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, we just look at this gathered body here this morning, and in the gathering of our lives, in the physical moving together and moving closer to one another, Lord, we are saying, Jesus, we are gathered around you, that you are at the center, Lord, of our longing. You are at the center of our desire, at the center of your purpose for our lives, Lord. And we want to pray now as we come together as your family, as your people, as your sons and daughters, Lord. I want to pray now that the presence of Jesus would be known in this place. And we declare that Jesus is here. We declare that you're here, Lord Jesus, with the power to save, Lord Jesus, with the power to heal, Lord Jesus, with the power to deliver, in Jesus' name, with the power to break chains that have held people, in Jesus' name, you're here amongst your people, and we just ask that the work of your Spirit now would move amongst every person who's reaching out for breakthrough from you. I thank you, Lord, that this is the place you're committed to coming. You're committed to meeting with us here. And Lord, we're asking you, Lord, to break through and bring blessing in every heart and life that reaches out to you now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.